Thank you. May it please the court, counsel. I've been around a long time, too, and this is my first trip to the Court of Appeals.
We're glad to have you today.
So thank you very much. I'm Suzette Hutchins. I represent Juanita Washington, the claimant. On November 4th, 2014, Ms. Washington was a longtime employee of Honeywell Corporation. She had actually started working there in April of 1989. She was working at the power plant.
Counsel, let me interrupt if I can, because we're familiar with the facts.
Okay.
This case implicates the so-called coming and going rule.
Yes, Your Honor.
The Workers' Compensation Commission. And I understand from your brief that basically your assertion is that because, and there's no contest that your client suffered an accident.
Yes.
While she was on her way to work.
Correct. She was leaving work.
Or leaving work, I'm sorry. But the question is, the accident occurred in a public street.
Yes.
And your argument is that this was the employer's extended premises simply because she was on her way to a parking lot where she parked her car that was owned by the employer. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Now, we've never held, that I know of, that a public street was part of the extended premises. And there's a lot of, in fact, the default position is that the workplace does not extend, and you have to meet a lot of different criteria, and among those criteria is the ability of the employer to control the premises where the accident occurred. What control does this record reflect that your client's employer exercised over this public street?
Well, there was no control over the public street, however. There was control over the premises itself where she was working. There was control over the parking lot to which she was walking. And there is other case law to support the
fund. But the accident didn't occur in either one of those places?
No, it occurred in the middle of the public street. That's correct. The court found in Hunton Williams versus Gilmer, and on that case they found against the claimant, but the court found against the claimant in that case because it was a parking lot and there was no evidence that the employer exercised any maintenance over the parking lot itself. But there was language in that case that said that this could be considered the extended premises of the employer.
Let me help you out if I can, Ms. Hutchins, because
yes.
As you will find out with your first argument, the time is going to fly by, so you
yes.
want to get an opportunity to sort of focus on the main issues. In the Kindred case, there were three exceptions that were set out of the general rule that an injury while an employee receives while going to and from work is not compensable. One, where in going and coming from work, the means of transportation is provided by the employer, the time consumed is paid for, including the wages. Obviously, that doesn't apply.
No.
Two, where the way used is the sole and exclusive way of ingress and egress with no other way, or where the way of ingress and egress is constructed by the employer, maybe. And three, where the employee on his way to work, to and from work, is still charged with some duty or task in connection with his employment. That doesn't apply. So the only one that is close is maybe number two, which says where the way used is the sole and exclusive way of ingress and egress with no other way, or where the way of ingress and egress is constructed by the employer. Can you tell us how your client's circumstances fall into Category 2?
Well, first of all, the only way of ingress and egress between where she worked and where her car was parked was to cross Industrial Drive. That's the only way she had to get there.
And can I follow up on that? Was there an intersection or a crosswalk or a stop sign or a light or anything anywhere near there on Industrial Avenue?
Yes, there was a guard shack there and there was, I believe, a crosswalk.
And she was in the crosswalk
yes.
when this happened?
Yes. And there is, the exceptions have also gone to include the extended premise exception. And that's what we're looking at here, the extended premise. There's a case very similar to ours, Little versus Northrop Grumman, where the claimant had to cross Warwick Boulevard to get to the shipyards. And then after she crossed Warwick Boulevard, she had to go through a grassy area to get to the gate to the shipyards, and she fell in a hole and broke her ankle. In that
but
case,
that was in the grassy area. That wasn't in the road. Right?
That was in the grassy area, correct. But in that case, the commission noted that Warwick Boulevard and both sides of the road were part of the extended premises of the employer. It's another case, Wetzel's Painting, which follows along with the extended premise. In this case, the painter had to cross a concrete apron, which was between a public street and the house where he was working.
That's the top of the driveway, essentially. That's going out into the street. It wasn't in the street, though, right?
It was adjacent to the public street, is what my understanding was. It was adjacent to the public street.
And if I could follow up, and I thought I was right on the little case that you cited, but Little had some interesting facts. In Little case, the employee was issued a parking decal and was directed to park in a designated area. And the employee was using the only right-of-way to access their employer's business. So that's not what we have here, because as I understand the facts, and correct me if I'm wrong, there were other places where your client could park if she chose to.
There were other places. She chose to park in the one closest to where she was working. And the management did admit that mostly everyone who worked in her part of the plant did park in that particular.
But she was not required.
No,
I appreciate
sir.
That.
And there are other entrances and exits from the workplace, correct?
There are, but not from where she worked.
So the point here is our standard of review is to review the commission to determine if there is evidence in the record to support the commission's legal conclusions.
Yes, sir.
And here the commission made at least two findings of fact that seem to me pertinent to our analysis. One, this public street is a geographic point where the employer, Honeywell, does not exercise any control. And they're certainly, you know, given that it's a public street, that seems obvious to me.
Correct.
Secondly, they found that your client had not borne their burden of proof that this was the only means of ingress and egress. And it sounds like you just conceded that point. She simply elected to park where she did, and that caused her to traverse this public street where the accident occurred. That doesn't automatically, it seems to me, bring it within the coverage of the workers' compensation laws. So how is the commission wrong as a matter of law, given those both factual and the factual conclusions are binding on us, the legal conclusions are not, but why is it wrong as a matter of law?
The fact that she parked in, there was no evidence that any other parking lot was any less hazardous. You still had to cross a public street.
Well, the burden is on you or your client to establish that the requirements of both the extended premises doctrine and the coming and going rule apply, because the default position is it's not compensable unless you could establish these things, correct?
Correct.
So the commission concluded that the coming and going rule was not satisfied because there were other means of ingress and egress, and that's a factual conclusion, which the evidence seems to support, because that's your burden to establish that. And secondly, that the public street as a matter of law is not the premises of the employer because it's a public street. How are both those things incorrect? Because if either one of them is correct, we're basically done here, aren't we?
Well, they would, yes, sir. I do admit that. But the court has held before that it's like in the Wetzel case that we're talking about, where the man slipped on the concrete apron. Court specifically said that it was irrelevant that the injury occurred on public property or that there may have been other options for the person to park. Parking lots that are owned and maintained by the employer are part of the premises, and I think that we could...
I agree with you that it's different than the Hunt and Williams case, because there they allowed their people to park there, but they didn't maintain the parking lot.
Right.
And so her injury was in the parking lot, and so
it's not
there was no liability
right.
there to Hunt and Williams. However, here the injury wasn't in the parking lot. It was in the public street. If the injury had been in the parking lot, it would appear that they would have been liable. We don't have to decide that, though. But let me ask you this. If we were to hold that the extended premises apply to the public street here, which, as Judge Humphreys noted, we've not done that before, mm-hmm. what would prevent, if let's say their parking lot was two blocks away, she had to cross two streets, but it was a Honeywell maintained, managed parking lot exclusively for Honeywell employees, and it was much closer to her than, I'm looking at the map, than the other parking lots would have been. But now she has to cross two streets and walk down a sidewalk that maybe they're not maintaining either. where does this end? I mean, do you see my question? It's a slippery slope.
I do. But I do believe that in this particular case, the proximity of the road to the Honeywell properties is important. The road was between the Honeywell plant and the Honeywell parking lot, so it was in such close proximity that it should be considered part of the extended premises.
Can I ask you, you were talking about the other parking lots, mm-hmm. and they're a lot farther away. I'm looking at the map. But she wouldn't have had to cross any public street to get to them, would she? I don't see one on the map. I may be missing it.
I'm not sure about that, but I do know that they were quite a bit farther away.
The map isn't great. It's sort of hard to tell. I mean, you can definitely see Industrial Avenue here, and I can see where she marked that she crossed, which isn't right across from her building. It's a little further down the street, but I guess that was because of those concrete barriers.
Right.
But the other parking lot, it looks like while she might have to cross some private streets owned by Honeywell, perhaps on there, because they have a large property here,
right?
That perhaps she wouldn't have had to cross a public street.
That could be possible, yes.
Go ahead and proceed.
I'd also like to point out in the Stone versus Keister Market and Grill case, in that case, the court held against a claimant for the same reason as previously, that there was no control over the parking lot. But the court did note the fact that the employee in this case was injured in a public road, and otherwise it would have been compensable. So I just feel like the proximity between the Honeywell plant and the parking lot where she was parked makes it the extended premises. And there was a very strong dissent by Commissioner Marshall in our case where he said
he would find that it's the extended premises.
It is not reasonable to conclude the claimant, in departing from her workplace, was exposed to a risk arising out of the employment while leaving the building and when she was in the parking lot across the street, but that the risk lapsed for the brief time between the building and the parking lot.
Let me ask you on that then, because he certainly states very powerfully his view that it should be extended premises. Mm-hmm. Industrial Avenue is a street in Hopewell with a fair amount of traffic.
Yes, sir.
Suppose someone is flying down Industrial Avenue, I mean, way over the speed limit. I'm not clear what the speed limit is right by there. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure the record says, but maybe if it does, you can tell me. But let's say they're going well over the speed limit. How does Honeywell prevent an injury from that? Where is their responsibility or even ability to exercise any control if it is extended premises in that street?
Well, I think Honeywell could have a crossing guard. They could have a light there, some sort of button that people can push, you know, like you see in the cities. When you need to cross the street, you can push a button and a light will be illuminated. I think they could have done that.
Well, of course, the problem with that is that they don't own that property. They'd have to get the permission of the city of Hopewell.
Well, but it would be in their interest to do so. Thank you very much.
You have your rebuttal time, Ms. Hutchins. Good morning, Ms. Lingle.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court, Ms. Hutchins. I'm Catherine Lingle. I represent Honeywell and Excel America Insurance Company. Judge Humphrey, you picked up on the issue in this case, and that's the coming and going rule, or the going and coming rule. I've seen it written both ways. And you correctly point out that none of the exceptions in this case appear to apply to Juanita Washington. She was crossing a public street at the time of her accident. That is the situs of her accident. That's where she was injured. She was not injured on Honeywell property. Honeywell didn't exercise any control over Industrial Street. We think that this case really is controlled by the Ramey versus Bobbitt decision, which is a decision from the Supreme Court of Virginia. Mr. Ramey had parked his car. He was crossing a public street to head to the Pepsi plant, and he was struck and killed right in front of the Pepsi plant on the public street adjacent to the plant. In that case, the Supreme Court of Virginia found that he wasn't where his employer intended him to be for any employment purpose. He wasn't charged with any function of his work at that time. He was just heading to work. The court also focused on the fact that where he parked wasn't the exclusive area for him to park, and that wasn't the only means of ingress and egress to the Pepsi plant.
Was it a parking lot, helping me on that case? Was it a parking lot?
That was a parking lot.
Maintained and controlled by that company for only their employees?
I don't believe where Mr. Ramey parked, it was a parking lot that was controlled by the Pepsi plant. However,
a little bit like the Huntley Williams case, except the injury happened in the road, in the street.
Correct. Now, there is a case, it's a commission case that was summarily affirmed by this court, Mitchell versus Howmet, and that is a very similar case where Mitchell had clocked out for the day, was crossing a public street to a Howmet parking lot. He was actually injured on Howmet Drive, but it was a public street. That was a parking lot that was owned and maintained by Howmet, and that case was not found to be compensable, again, because the accident happened on the public street.
How do you deal with the Wetzel's painting case, and also Ms. Hutchins cited the Northrop Grumman case where the street was, she indicated, was extended premises, or there was dicta at least in the decision about that?
The Wetzel's painting case, as you pointed out, Judge Beals, that was the top of the driveway, or the beginning of the driveway, and it was found to be in such close proximity to be part of the employer's extended premises. My understanding is that individual was heading into that property to do some painting work, had parked on the public street, and had to cross that concrete apron to get into the driveway to that property. Those aren't the facts that we have here. This was a public street. Ms. Washington was crossing the public street to the Honeywell parking lot. It wasn't in such proximity to the employer's plant to be considered part of the employer's premises. And as Judge Humphreys pointed out, this court and the Supreme Court of Virginia has never extended the extended premises theory of recovery to a public street. In the Northrop Grumman case, I don't have instant access to that one, Your Honor. Could you refresh my memory on the facts of that one?
I need you to refresh my memory is that a Workers' Compensation Commission case that was not appealed or decided by this court?
That's a Workers' Comp Commission.
All right, thank you. That's what I thought.
Okay. Well, and of course, I didn't really focus on the commission cases except for the Howmet case, which this court summarily affirmed, and also the Jenkins versus Natural Fruit Product case, which this court confirmed. It cited the Huntley Williams versus Gilmer case and the Stone versus Keister case. As you pointed out in the Huntley Williams versus Gilmer case, that was a parking lot over which the employer exercised no control, parking garage actually.
Go ahead.
A parking garage where the employee slipped and fell, and the analysis there was that the employer exercised no control.
I was going to ask you about the commission found as a fact that this was not the only means of ingress and egress. Now, we've got two different concepts in play here, the coming and going rule, the going and coming rule, and the extended premises doctrine. Given that the commission found that the employee had not honored its burden to establish that this was the only means of ingress and egress, and that's a factual determination, does that end the analysis? I mean, do we even need to reach the extended premises doctrine
it should end the analysis. You're right. That is a finding of fact that's binding on this court. Of course, whether the injury arose out of and in the course of the employment is a mixed question of law and fact, which this court can review. You mentioned the map, Judge Beals, and I believe it's at page 184. It's illegible in my copy of the appendix. I'm hoping your copy is better, but I brought one with me. And as you'll see from the map, where Ms. Washington, she worked in two different plants. And the testimony at the hearing from her supervisor, Mike Haynes, was he supervised both of these plants. He didn't park in the north parking lot where Ms. Washington parked. He parked in one of these lots over here. These lots over here do not require her to access or use Industrial Street. So, but most important,
she have to cross any public highway or public road to get to them, or those private roads?
It does not appear, Your Honor, that she has to cross any public road. I believe that's all within Honeywell's property. It's Randolph Street where you access those other parking lots. I think it's the south parking lot and the east parking lot. There are four other lots where she could have parked. And frankly, she wasn't even required to park on Honeywell property, given how big the property was. Of course, it was most convenient for her to use Honeywell parking. The only requirement that she had was that she not park in a visitor spot. But I think the most important point that the map makes is she had all of these other ways to access her workplace. She had all of these other areas where she could have parked. She parked in the north parking lot, understandably, because it was closest to the plant where she was working that evening. But that does not make her going, does not give her an exception to the going and coming rule just because she chose a parking lot that was more accessible to her.
And you said that she worked in two different plants, both on this facility, on this
yes,
map?
Sir. Yes, sir.
The other one where the other blue circle is around?
Correct. I'm not sure if your map, if it's legible where you can see employee's work area,
right.
And there are two circles. She was working in the north circle that day, but she goes back and forth between the two, as does her supervisor, Mr. Haynes, who testified that he doesn't park in the north parking lot. He parks in one of these other parking lots. But she does go back and forth between those two different facilities. The evening of her accident, she was working in the northern plant of those two plants. As Judge Humphreys pointed out, this court and the Supreme Court of Virginia has never ruled that a public street can be deemed to be the extended premises of the employer. Honeywell did not exercise any control over that area, didn't really exercise any control over where she parked other than directing her not to park in a visitor parking. So for these reasons, if there are no further questions, I'll conclude and just ask that this court affirm the decision of the commission. Thank you.
Further questions? Thank you, Ms. Lane.
Thank you.
Ms. Hutchins, you have your rebuttal time.
Just briefly, I'd like to note, Your Honors, in the Ramsey case, it was pointed out that the decedent was not where he was expected to be. He was on a public street and he was not going to a parking lot. In this case, Ms. Washington was exactly where she was expected to be. She was leaving the Honeywell premises and she was going to the parking lot.
Counsel, let me ask you, Judge Alston earlier asked you about the, and I think you agreed that the only the second factor of the coming and going rule is arguably in play here. Given the commission's factual findings that your client had not followed through with her burden of proof with respect to the exclusive means of ingress and egress, how do we get around that? How do we resolve this case in your favor, given that factual conclusion? I mean, it seems to me we don't even need to reach the extended premises doctrine at all if the second part of the only conceivable part of the going and coming rule has not been established.
Well, you know, I hear what you're saying.
Well, good, because I had trouble saying it. So.
And I realize that's a problem for us. But I do believe that for Ms. Washington that day, that was the only way of ingress and egress for her. She parked her car there that morning. She went to the...
Certainly the most convenient, given where she parked, it clearly was the most convenient.
Absolutely.
But does most convenient equal only, you know?
No.
I don't know if the law, you know, goes in that direction. So we've certainly never held that.
Well, the parking lot, Your Honor, was in such close proximity to the plant that it should practically be part of the plant. So I would just argue that it should be part of the extended premises and ask you to reverse.
Thank you, Ms. Hutchins. We will recounsel, and then the next case on our docket is Colleen Beth.